Welcome to the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. In these episodes, we will explore all things related to gaining a coveted appointment to the Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, and West Point. And here are your hosts, Rob Kirkland and Trish Penroth. We got some big news here about changes to the Service Academy nomination process for Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, and West Point. Trish, what is the big news that we need to tell everybody about? And then we'll talk about what we believe the impact is of these changes.
Of course, sir. There's two specific changes for the class of Academy applicants who are applying to go into the Academy in June of 2025. If you're an 11th grader below, this applies to you. And two things. The first item is that nominations are changing in terms of the number of nominations that can be submitted to each academy. And that number is going from 10 nominees per vacancy up to 15 nominees per vacancy. So 50% more are able to now be sent from each member of Congress. So that's both your local representative as well as both senators to the service academies. Very excited to dive into that a little bit more. But first, let's talk about the second change, which the number of qualified alternates is changing from 150 to 200. Sir, what does that mean?
A qualified alternate is a person who does not win their congressional district. Say you have a local member of Congress from the House, and they nominate 15 candidates for the one space that they have at say West Point. If you do not win that one vacancy, then you can become what's called a qualified alternate. And that means if you fall within the top 200 nationwide of students that don't win the vacancy from your congressional district, you and the top 200 of the whole candidate score will automatically get an appointment to the Service Academy. So again, it's based on the whole candidate score and not winning your congressional district. That is a QA. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not based upon any other criteria other than having the top whole candidate score in the nation, and you didn't win your congressional district. It's written into the law.
Diving in a little bit more to this, let's say you want to go to West Point and you apply in your local congressional district. Now your local representative will be able to submit your name along with up to potentially 14 other candidates' names to fill that one vacancy that they have in their district. And let's say you are not the top qualified candidate out of the district. You, along with 3,000 other students who got a nomination but weren't the top candidate out of their district, are now placed in order of merit based on their whole candidate score on the national waiting list. And before, that cut line was 150, so only the top 150 candidates got appointments. But now that cut line is moving down to 200. Sir, what do you think parents and candidates should know about this?
Well, what it means is that you need to know what goes into the whole candidate score. And so what I would say to you is that you need to understand first is, how do I get into the top 200 candidates? You got to look at what's involved here. And so just as in a generality with the service academies, I mean, you're looking at 40% of standardized test scores, whether the ACT or SAT, and that's super scored. 20% is your grades in high school, and a few other factors, but just how well academically you do in high school. And then the other 40% is your extracurricular activities, your sports and other athletics you do in high school, candidate fitness assessment, and teacher evaluations. So that in general is how you get to 100%. And so the biggest message is you got to make sure that you do the best that you can on every part of that whole candidate score in order to get the highest score that you can. And then you've got to realize the dominance of the standardized test score in the overall determination of who gets those top 200. So given that the SAT or ACT is super scored, my message to, just keep taking that test, because the higher that you can score, the better chance you're going to get into that top 200.
We have an episode that I'm going to link to in the show notes below on SAT, ACT scores, but here's my general rule of thumb for you. If you want to go to a service academy, do not stop testing. Keep pushing yourself. Keep moving the needle. Keep increasing your score through December, because December is the last month you can test and you should be pursuing excellence. So if you haven't gotten your score up as high as you possibly can, keep pushing.
Yep. The academy sees you continuing to take that test. So through December of your senior year. So they keep seeing you taking that test. And it doesn't necessarily mean you necessarily have to improve in every area all the time. But the more you're taking that test, that's a signal to the service academy that I am very serious about being selected as a candidate. I can't think of a better signal to send than to continually take the test to show them that you're trying to improve.
Great. And then moving back to the 15 versus 10 nominees, what does it mean, sir?
What this means is, I think this was really from kind of highly competitive districts. So there's some districts, like the district when I was going up as a candidate in the Stone Age back in the 80s, my particular congressional district, they filled up those 10 slots for each academy very quickly. And you couldn't get multiple nominations to multiple academies. You had to choose one academy that you wanted to go to. So I couldn't get a nomination to both Air Force Academy and West Point. I had to choose one of the two. And so moving it to 15 is going to allow, first of all, to be able to provide people nominations to multiple academies, but also in extremely competitive districts, it's also going to allow the member of Congress to give at least one nomination to one academy to people. So there are some districts like outside of Washington, D.C., where it's hard to even get one of those 10. So going to 15 is going to give them a lot more flexibility to be able to give more people nominations. Now, I think the important thing to note here is that, and I think that sometimes it's lost with candidates and their parents, is that a nomination is just a ticket to compete for admission. It's not like you have, if just because they have 15 nominations, your chances of getting an appointment are greater. Remember, there's only one person out of that 15 who gets an appointment from that district guaranteed. And then you have other avenues such as the top 200 or an additional appointee, which was at the discretion of the academy. But it doesn't really give you any better chance of getting an appointment. What they're doing is they're giving more opportunity to compete. The member of Congress has got more tickets. He or she can give out more tickets to compete and more people feel good. But I don't think it necessarily gets you closer to getting an appointment. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't move it to 20 one of these days. If there's enough people that want to compete in for multiple academies, then why not? So I think this is a really good move with Title 10. Now, there's some districts where moving the 10 to 15 isn't going to make a difference at all. They can't even fill the 10 nominees. So doing 15 isn't going to make a difference at all for a number of congressional districts. But the highly competitive ones, I think this is a good move. And so, Trisha, talking about the QAs 150 to 200, why do you think they moved to 150 to 200? What's your take on that?
Well, I think that they're trying to provide more highly qualified candidates opportunities. There's a lot of students that are right around that 150 range mark. And so they probably recognize that there's more people just under that cut line that they want to offer appointments to.
Right. You can't help but wonder if the Supreme Court decision and the fact that West Point is now under lawsuit by Students for Fair Admission is impacting this, because the QAs, the top 200, is not based upon any sort of athlete or racial group. You just score in the top 200 based upon your whole candidate score. So this does open up mandatory slots at the academy for people that aren't minorities or recruited athletes, taking 50 from additional appointees. So that leaves about 50 less candidates that the academy has from some other area. And that's taken away from additional appointees or AAs.
There's a bunch of different ways that the academies fill those additional appointee slots. They're recruited athletes. They're minorities. They're also kind of remarkable achievements from candidates.
So you're looking at somewhere around, they go from about maybe 220, 230 to about 180 or 170 of additional appointees. My take on this is it's going to affect not necessarily your class presidents or your private pilot's license, but your really, really solid candidates who aren't in the top 200, didn't do something extraordinary, but are like solid across the board. In other words, someone who like might be an Eagle Scout and just really solid grades in high school, good SAT scores, someone who's really solid, who might have gotten in under an AA, additional appointee, then I just think that there's just not enough wiggle room at the academy to really give that really, really solid performer an AA appointment. And so what that tells me is that I don't think that the academies are going to go away from the minority or the recruited athlete. What that means is for a solid performer out there, I go back to getting into that top 200. You've got to keep on improving your SAT or ACT score, because I just think your margin for error, if you're not or some really extraordinary achieving candidate, I think your margin for error has decreased greatly here because of this going from 150 to 200.
I completely agree. So the message of today is get your whole candidate score or your whole person multiple or your selection composite score, whichever academy you're applying to, get it up as high as you possibly can.
Yeah. And we talk to that with candidates all the time, as I just say, you want to be in a situation where the academy has to admit you. They don't have a choice in the matter. That your whole candidate score, or whole person multiple, or however each of the academies talk about it, is within that top 200, and the academy is hands are tied and they have to appoint you. That's where you want to be. You do not want to be in a situation where the academy is choosing between you and someone else.
That's such an important point too, sir. There are actionable steps that you can take to make yourself more competitive and to make it so the academy cannot say no to you. And we are here. Our whole mission is to help people understand what they can do now, the steps they can take now to make themselves more competitive. If you wait until it's the last minute and you're applying, it's probably too late. This is something that needs to start earlier on in the application cycle, before the application cycle, before you get to 11th grade. The more time you have, the better to do this.
Absolutely. The longer lead time that you have, the better. The longer you can kind of build up your resume, make sure that you have those kind of activities, leadership, sports, and things like that that can build your resume, the better off you're going to be. So the academies have said that they don't like the cookbook nature of the admissions process, meaning that you put in a certain amount of SAT, put in a certain amount of your high school grades, and then it spits out a number, and then you're appointed. This seems to be going more towards a cookbook that the academies don't particularly like too much. But that's the reality. And as I tell my candidates, and I know you do, Trish, is that if you're playing baseball, you don't want to be playing on the football field. You want to know where you're playing and what field you're playing on and what the standards are. That's why we're here. We want to make sure that you understand the playing field that you're going to be competing on and how to best be successful on that playing field. This was really big news in general. This is, I think, one of the biggest changes that I've seen in the nomination process in a long time.
Definitely. So best of luck to all of our class of 2029 and future applicants out there who are pursuing a service academy appointment.
You've reached the end of another episode of the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. Connect with us at gainserviceacademyadmission.com. Love this episode of the podcast? Head over to iTunes, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you listen to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.